It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, hi.
G'day, Mikey. How you going?
When do you wrap up for the year, Phil?
When do I wrap up for the year? Probably midnight on the 24th. No, I hope a couple of days before that. But no, it's really busy at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, flat out, flat tack.
Yeah, nine speeches this week.
Nine speeches?
That just keeps me going. Plus, endless meetings, you know.
Oh, Phil.
Oh,
golly gosh. Gosh. Imagine being the mayor. Oh. That's what the mayor's what happens with when you're the mayor.
Hey, that's right. It goes with the job. What am I complaining about?
Hey, summertime's pretty much digging its heels in now, Phil. And summertime means entertainment. It means people out and about. It means people really making the most out of the city and not going to the casino and not staying inside. People going and doing things that they want to do out in the parks and the events and that sort of thing. Are we the arts and culture hub that we purport to be?
Look, I think we've got some great assets in Auckland.
Well, should people just get straight on the boat to Wellington?
No, hell no. Why would you go there? Summertime is it's out and about, and it's kind of out, you know, we like to think of ourselves as outdoor people, and what I love about the summer, you know, got up this morning, alarm went off at 5 o'clock, and it was almost light, almost.
That's pretty much not yesterday, quite. But yep.
Yeah, and you know, I can drive to work in the daylight, I can go home, I can, you know, get home about 8 o'clock, I can still wander outside, wander through the garden, maybe look over the farm and say, hey, you know, hey, this is what life is about. But you know, Christmas to me, it's about going to the beach, it's about going through our great reserves and our parks, but the cultural stuff is important too. And you know, when we talk about culture, I mean, how do you define culture? I mean, somebody said to me, oh, you're not very cultural. I said, I go to probably more cultural events than anyone else because I'm going to all of the ethnic cultural events. You know, I love Diwali and the entertainment there. I love Chinese New Year. I love Matariki. I love Pacifica and Polyfest. I went to Taylor Swift the other night. Can you believe that? Yeah, it was a great show too, apart from the light drizzle that persisted all the way through it. Which really persisted us off, but...
What do you mean? What do you mean? Because it was outdoors, was it?
It was Mount Smart, wasn't it?
I went to none of that trouble at Def Leppard last night.
Yeah. Well, that was at Vector, at Spark, I should say.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, indoors.
Hey,
quite a bit older crowd.
Yeah, we do need the cover for concerts. Although, you know, got to say,
tell you what, it might have been good to maybe calm down some of your more anxious, excitable types. You know,
they were all pretty well behaved at Taylor Swift. They were their mums and dads and their kids and a whole mixture of demographics. Actually, wow, you know, their appeal goes across the board. I got to say, I didn't go along as a particularly great fan, but really enjoyed the concert and the stage effect. I just thought really, really professional, and she put the energy into it. You know, was good, but not necessarily my favourite type of music, but I enjoyed it.
You went along, of course, at the Armistice commemorations as well?
Yeah,
or saw you there?
That had the light drizzle too, but that was, you know, we interpreted that as tears from heaven. Really moving, big crowd out at the Domain, and... You just, you know, I'll tell you what I thought about. I thought about, you know, obviously with the Fields of Remembrance there, 18,277 New Zealanders killed, mass slaughter, 40,000 wounded, tens of thousands of the survivors traumatised by the hell of conflict that they went through. And this was supposedly the war to end all wars, and such is the failings of the human condition, 21 years later, we again sent our people to Europe and to Asia to fight. And I'm not saying, you know, World War II was absolutely justified. You simply had to stop what Hitler and Mussolini and the Japanese Imperial Command were trying to do to the world. But you just wonder, and I watched it on TV the other night. I thought the French President Macron and the German Chancellor were smart in what they said. And I thought the opposite of Trump. I thought, my friend, have you really learned anything from the history of the world? You know, you just that sort of populism and nationalism, it ends up in disaster for humanity, because if you build up your particular group, you're inevitably putting down another group. When you've got to think, hey, this is one planet, we're all members of this planet, and we can achieve great things working together, and we can create catastrophe by indulging in conflict.
None of us are better than any of the other of us, are they?
No. You know, you just you watch people, and Trump does it. You know, I won't compare Trump with Hitler, but the same sort of tendency. You know, you find an enemy. For Hitler, it was obviously people, the Jews, the communists, the gays, etc. For Trump, during that campaign, I heard him talking about, you know, the flooding in of these migrants. And I thought, you know, by the time they actually get the march to the border, there'll probably be a couple of thousand of them, and they will probably be stopped at the border. But you're just setting out to demonize that particular group. And, you know, that's not great. You know, and the United States is better than that.
What I thought about the armistice commemorations, it's a really hard line to draw, because everybody that went over there, you feel for everyone who lost anyone or anything, even, you know, even someone's just texting here, don't forget the horses they shot, so they didn't have to send them back home.
One horse came back, I think, of the thousands that went over.
I find it really hard that I know it's, I guess it's the only way that people can justify losing somebody, but most people that went over to and died in those conflicts didn't die heroes at all. They to be blunt, died suckers. You know, they were conned into something that wasn't theirs, that they should never have been there in the first place for, and somebody else benefited from them dying, and it was, you know, it's so sad. It's horrendously sad what mankind was happy to do to itself, you know?
Yeah, when you analyse the causes of the First World War, it was totally unnecessary. But, you know, look... When I've listened to military historians and others, that, and including veterans, speak, I don't know how those guys in the First World War, the ones that weren't shot or physically wounded, I don't know how they survived the trauma of it.
Oh,
you know, going over
it?
The top, the machine gun fire, the gas, the shelling. But, you know, what people tell me about it, including some of the people that were veterans, is that in some ways what they did was for their mates. Camaraderie there.
Yeah.
They never wanted to let their mates down.
It gets to that stage, but that's what the thing that annoys me is that's what high command, no matter what side you're on, relies on. You know, that's what makes me sickest.
Yeah, well, you look back and the old days, even before the First World War, you know, the commander on the back line there that said, well, we can sacrifice that regiment and that battalion. And, you know, you're talking about human beings and that. But, no, I do give the guys credit for courage. I mean, they went there for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they thought it was an adventure, and you see, you know, people really rushing to join up because they thought the war would be over by Christmas, which is the story that was being told. Of course, it went on for, four and a half years. The guys there did think about their families, they think about their communities,
they
thought about their mates. And I have no trouble at all in going along there and paying tribute to the guys that gave their lives.
So. I've said before on the radio, Phil, you just drive around New Zealand and you can feel all the towns where all the men were just taken. You know,
I live, and they've got an obelisk there, and they've got, you know, a score of names on it.
It's crippled this whole country, you know.
We were a million people, and we sent 100,000 people overseas, and of that 100,000, you know, probably about 50,000 to 60,000 of them were killed or wounded. And those outside that category were a lot of them were traumatised. It was awful, and we do need to learn the lessons of history. But we also, I think, quite appropriately honour the people that fought and died on behalf of their communities, their family, and their countries.
So
and you just hope we can learn the lessons of it. And not do it unnecessarily. Sometimes you've got to stand up and fight, you know.
Yeah.
Of course you'd do that. I, you know, all of my my dad and all of his brothers went to fight in the Second World War, and it was a cause that was absolutely worth fighting for. But, you know, at the end of each war, there is this mood, let's try to do things differently. Let's try to sort out our differences without slaughtering each other.
Within a generation, you've forgotten it. This is what I'm wondering. You know, it's like... Does commemorating it the way we do, and I actually heard someone else talking about this yesterday too, does commemorating it the way we do make it okay to war now and then? Yeah, shouldn't we be? This is a bigger question. This is outside of the mayoralty chains, I'm pretty sure.
Do we
in some ways normalize war by commemorating it the way we do?
I don't answer that question. We shouldn't glorify it, and you know that's what the vets say too. You know, I heard the president of the Auckland RSA stand up. We're not here to glorify war, and we shouldn't be. It's not glorious. To see people destroyed, slaughtered the way they were, and I just think, you know, you think of the leaders that really matter in the 20th century as people like Gandhi that promoted non-violence and said we've got to do things in a different way, we tried to do that after the Second World War with the United Nations, and then we see the great powers simply putting themselves ahead of everybody else and undermining the nature of the organisation, when what we need to be looking for is an international rule of law. You don't have within New Zealand the strong and the wealthy, you know, don't set their own rules and live outside of the law. They live under the law, and that's what nations should do as well. You just see time and again the use of the veto power that New Zealand's always opposed at the UN being used to protect a great power's self-interest ahead of any decent values or principles that the world, you know, should operate under as part of the rule of international law.
Which is why President Macron said was so poignant, I thought.
Yeah. The good thing about that, just say, let's finish on a positive note. Yeah. To see Macron and Merkel, 73 years after the end of the Second World War, those two nations working as closely as any two nations on earth. So, that was a positive, that's a bit sad that that Brexit should be happening, because what the European Union has done is that it has stopped war within Europe, and that's what caused, two generations of our fathers and grandfathers or great-grandfathers, going to be slaughtered in Europe. So, hey, some progress, but we've got to do better.
All right, well, and if people want to go and see that commemorative set up at the museum at the moment, how long is that up for?
Only till the 15th, I think. We're all invited to go and pick up the crosses representing our forebears if we want them. And I've got a great uncle that has a cross there, so I think the family will go down and retrieve that. Guy that I went to his graveside last year, never knew him. And you just stand at that graveside and think, this poor guy's been lying here for 100 years, gave his life, never came back to enjoy the peace, have a family, you know. So it is about honouring sacrifice, and it's appropriate that we do that.
Thanks, Phil. Nice to talk to you this morning.
Okay, mate.
Talk more about the city next week.
Okay, good as gold. Right,
bye-bye.
Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.